Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives. And this week is this week. And this episode is a mini episode.
Tis.
Where we discuss things that are in the news presently.
Presently.
And I hope you have something good. Because I don't really. Do you?
No.
It has been a really sad news cycle.
I also just, like, kind of last minute did a lot of shit again. So I'm, like, grasping at straws a little bit here.
Well, we're here to depress you, then.
I mean, there's kind of, like, some, like, resolution-ish to both of these stories. And I have a feeling that one of these you're going to be talking about as well.
Okay. There was a big...
I don't have anything political. Well, okay, technically
me,
political.
Like, yeah, I don't have anything Trump this week.
Let's take a break!
So, we are taking a Trump-free...
I couldn't. Like, I couldn't do... I couldn't get myself to, like, read all this shit. I don't know. I just, like, there. I just needed to read other horrible shit,
yeah,
which is what
listen,
I did.
Listen, because it's not as if Trump didn't do shit we could talk about this week, because he 100% did.
Oh, he does shit every day of his life!
But, and I mean, and some big stuff dropped, but it's just, like, I was like, you know what? I just don't want to.
You know what? Our positives this week, too, will just be our sister solidarity stories
yes,
that we're going to share.
Yes, agreed.
Okay. Do you remember Brock Turner?
Oh, girl, that was on my list.
Yeah?
That was on my list, yeah.
Okay, so you already... Oh, my God, girl, look at that bra you're wearing.
That's a very sexy bra.
Oh, my gosh, your boobs look so cute.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I just got so distracted.
Got me in just the right spot.
By the beauty.
The inner boob is the best part of my boob, I feel
you
like.
You got some good outer boob, though,
thank
too.
Thank you.
My goodness. Sorry, guys, I just got so flustered for a second. Okay, so we remember our good pal... Brock Turner.
You can't even say that. Like,
I was like, wait, why did I say that? Our fucking enemy, Brock Turner, aka the scum of the earth.
Fucking guy.
I can't believe we're still talking about this.
Such a like. I was just telling Anthony because I was so tired earlier today, and then I got like hopped up on Red Bull, and so I was like bouncing off the walls and like yelling at him about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So tell him what happened, Madigan.
Okay, so back in 2015, he was accused of sexually assaulting a girl who was unconscious and intoxicated behind a dumpster at a frat party.
And it should be said that he was seen thrusting on top of an unconscious girl from 30 feet away. So from 30 feet away, people could tell, at a college party, people could tell, like, this doesn't look kosher from that far away. I'm just saying.
No, like, I know, but wasn't expecting you to put it that way. So that's kind of the background of the whole thing that if you don't really know. Also, he was convicted to 3 counts of sexual assault. And I have to warn you, in this story, there's language that is used that was used in the court of law.
Yeah, trigger warning to anyone who
that
is sensitive.
That is very, like, reading it, it was very disturbing. So, his 3 counts of sexual assault, 1, assault with intent to commit rape of an intoxicated woman, 2, sexually penetrating a woman with a foreign object, and 3, sexually penetrating an unconscious woman with a foreign object. So, he was also required to sign up for the sex.
Why is there a distinction between those two?
Because it wasn't, because she was also unconscious. So they kind of had to add the two together.
I mean,
because I think it's a separate thing.
I'm glad that he got an additional charge.
Yeah. But because it is a different, wow. It is a different, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
I mean,
charge?
Yeah, it's a different charge, which
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, so you have
but,
to include all of them.
But why is it a different charge? Like, to me, I don't... Putting some kind of, like, arbitrary thing about whether or not you're awake when you're getting...
But that's... But it's... No, it doesn't matter. And we're going to talk more about that as this conversation goes on. But to me, there is an added sense of fucked up-ness by this person being unconscious. Not that it isn't fucked up when you are conscious, but, like, to me, it's... You cannot argue if it was rape or not because this person physically is unconscious, cannot say yes or no. So I'm not saying one is worse than the other, but I understand why they're specifying because they have to. And I think there's a lot of these on that list, mm-hmm. where you have to get as specific as possible, or else people are going to find loopholes. People are going to find different things like that. And why are we arguing that he's getting 3 counts instead of 2?
No, well, because I think what it says, I think it says something really fucked up about our legal system that we would need to differentiate between those.
Well, there's a lot of things fucked up about our legal system when it comes to sexual assault. So the fact that he was convicted at all, if you want to really, really look for the silver lining.
Yeah, it's a reach.
He got something. It's a huge reach. But he got 3, he got 6 months and he served 3. Like, it's
and
fucking bullshit.
And 6 months was insane if, in the to first begin place. With.
And because they, so they didn't want to ruin his, like, swimming career
and
or some shit.
And it was so insane that the judge, Aaron Persky, actually got recalled, which mm-hmm. is crazy. Mm-hmm. He got recalled because they were like, this sentence was out of line. Like, yeah. ridiculous. And then he only served 3 months. So all of that is a lead up
to what we're going to talk about now. So this is the title of the article that I read. It said, Brock Turner only engaged in, quote, outer course with sexual assault victim, the lawyer says.
Well, and he's not even saying that he engaged in outer course. Like, his direct quote, I think, in here is...
Well, oh, I got something.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I have a definition of what he says outer course is.
Right, I have that.
This
as well.
Guy is, his name is Malthop.
Yes.
And he's a piece of shit. So he describes outer course as a version of safe sex that does not involve penile contact and involves people being fully clothed. He claims that they engaged in, quote-unquote, aggressive thrusting as he lie on top of an unconscious, intoxicated, and partially unclothed woman at a frat party. And he claims that the DNA suggested that Emily Doe was conscious when being, quote-unquote, digitally penetrated.
How could DNA possibly indicate that?
Yeah, and had helped removing her underwear. First of all, DNA cannot determine that. Second of all, when I read the quote, digitally penetrated, this is what immediately came to mind for me. When we talk about rape as not being, it is a sexual sort of violence, but the fact that there is even still the word sex connected to something so cruel and violent can be problematic because it can give people kind of that different, it puts a different mark on it, I feel like, than if you're saying that he beat her up. You know what I mean?
Right, if you, how they classifying it as something other than assault.
Well, and I'm sorry, but rape isn't sex. Not sorry. Right. You know what I mean? So for me, and this is the thing, is that even if they're claiming that they didn't actually have vaginal intercourse,
well, it's sexual saying, assault regardless.
It's sexual assault regardless, but the thing is that if he, okay, I'm sorry if this gets too graphic. If he fingered her, which is what I'm assuming.
That's what that means,
digitally
yeah.
penetrated. There's no pleasure in that for him except for the power that he is getting from
right.
her.
Yeah.
To me, that is the definition of what sexual assault is. Because some people will think of it as being like, oh, well, they just haven't had sex in a while. They're getting out their sexual aggressions. To me, that is strictly a power... a power trip that he's on because
yeah, well,
he isn't, you don't get pleasure from, a man doesn't really that way except for if he is trying to just get her power. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's trying to feel
well,
big.
Well, I mean, but I mean, as far as like what rape is, even if you can, I mean, people do like to argue that it's like a physically satisfying act for men. But the point of it is power and control, like 100% of the time.
It is. And
even
this, to me,
was...
shows that there is no real sexual... Like, if this is really what happened, if he just did... I mean, I shouldn't say just. But if he did that, there you cannot argue that there was anything pleasurable for him. That can't be part of the argument. Oh, well, they were having sex.
Well,
there was,
and you
that
also...
That can't be part of the argument.
If you wanted to... I don't know, make that part of the argument, what you would say is that he was warming her up for something worse.
Ugh.
But, you know, like, that's, like, because...
Well, and it's because he was charged
you don't
with
think he would
intent
stop.
To rape.
Of course. Like, he... Like, if you want to say, if he was just like, it was outer course or whatever,
yeah.
which is not a fucking thing.
It's not a thing, but also, like, honestly, for me, like, a foreplay, typically, like, the whole, quote-unquote, warming up, as you say, is more of, it's for the woman's comfort, typically, where I feel like
yeah.
rape a lot of times is, like, there is no cause of comfort. Like, I just feel like that was his way of feeling powerful and overtaking this person. You know what I mean? I mean, he very well could have, that could have been a lead up, because I definitely think that it absolutely was.
I don't think that he would do that and stop. Right. And if he had, for whatever reason, say this was the first person that he'd ever done this to, if he knew that he got away with it, and maybe it was, but if he knew that he got away with it this time, even if he just, quote unquote, digitally penetrated her, do you think he's going to stop at that the next time?
No, because you constantly are going to escalate.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, this guy is saying that he did not intend to rape the unconscious woman because he engaged in sexual intercourse. So he's saying that because he did that, he was not intending to. And he's saying that he believes the jury's verdict should be overturned because of lack of evidence, which is so frustrating because that is something that happens all the time. And he's betting on that still happening now.
Well, I mean, actually, like, it doesn't happen all the time that a jury's verdict is overturned. Usually, they...
No, but I mean, in an original case, usually they're saying, it's lack of evidence.
Yeah, usually they won't even get convicted because of lack of evidence. What he's doing is actually really unusual,
mm-hmm.
that he would think that a judge would overturn the actual verdict that a jury gave this guy. And he did go on to say that he called into question the woman's level of intoxication, saying there's no evidence at what point she went from being incapacitated from alcohol to loss of consciousness. So he's basically trying to argue that she was awake when this thing started.
It's still rape.
And then passed out.
But it's still rape. It's still sexual assault. It doesn't matter.
And I like that he's trying to argue both perspectives. Like, he's trying to argue that she wasn't unconscious, and then he's also throwing out a sentence that says we don't know when she became unconscious. So
because
even if
he continues after she is unconscious, even if she, let's say she said yes,
and he's arguing both things
exactly. But let's say she says yes in the beginning of it, and they start engaging in certain activities,
right?
And then she becomes unconscious. Still the same.
You have to stop.
You stop. You do not continue doing it. This person is obviously on the ground, fucking passed out, and you are thrusting on top of her. And people can see this from far away.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if she was conscious to begin with.
And I'm sorry, the thing that also really fucking pisses me off about this is that Brock Turner has gotten every single, opportunity in this case. If it had been anyone other than a white, well-off jock from Stanford
swimmer.
Yeah, if it had been anyone else, the hammer would have come down super hard. In this case, he got
six months. Black men used to be killed.
Yeah, well, and he got
raping a white woman. Are you kidding?
He got 6 fucking months, served 3 months. He got off so easy.
And the judge is worried about his swimming career.
The entitlement to come back after that. After you have gotten off so easy.
And it's done. People have moved on for the most part. I mean, I'm sure the people involved have not. But, the public has kind of, moved on a little bit.
Yeah, the worst of it is behind you in that way.
And now you're bringing it up again.
You're bringing it back up. You know what I hope happens? And I've heard that this is a thing that can happen. If you're a legal person, email us and let us know if this is the case. But I did hear that if it goes through the Court of Appeals, he could be handed down a harsher sentence. So it could backfire on him.
I would love that.
Trying to do this.
He deserves every bad thing that comes to him.
Him and his family are shitty.
Until he comes to terms and tries to do what he can to make it right. Because I do believe that there are people out there that can...
You have to show some remorse.
Can be remorseful for what they've done. Exactly. He's shown none.
Throughout this entire thing, and this just points out, if he was remorseful... If he was sorry at all for what he did, he would take his time.
Yeah.
And he would be like, you know what? That's what I got. I got off easy with 3 months, and this is the consequences of my actions. But because it is so clear by his parents' behavior during the trial, specifically his dad's behavior, that he is so entitled.
Very.
That he can't handle having received any consequences for his actions
at all. Because he's probably never gotten any consequences for anything in his life.
Yeah.
And the thing is that by bringing his name up again, really what he's doing is he's keeping that name in our minds.
We As will someone not who we forget, fucking hate.
Yeah, like, he's screwed. Like, yeah. I very much feel, unless there's some fucked up woman out there who ends up marrying this man
there
or dating
are.
This man. I'm
there
sure
are
there are.
Who will.
But it's like, he is tainting his name all over again.
Yeah, he is.
We will never forget the name Brock Turner.
Yeah, no, we won't.
I will never forget that name and what is connected to it.
Is it in, it's in some dictionary. I think it might be an online dictionary where if you search rape, like the definition of it, his name pops up.
There
or
you
it's
go.
In a textbook or something. It's in something. He did this to himself, though, you know, not only in the act itself, but like, and this is a shitty thing to say, but like a lot of people get raped every day. A lot of rapists are out there every day.
Yes.
And they don't all have the notoriety that Brock Turner has.
Yes.
Brock Turner has this notoriety because he's made a name for himself being a fucking entitled piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, that no one, like, it blew our minds that he would behave like this.
Yes. And that the
media handled
treatment
it the way
of
they
him.
Did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was just insane. Yeah. So the judge rebuked Malthops?
Yes. It's a weird name.
Attempts to get them to reweigh the evidence in the jury's decision. He says, I absolutely don't understand what you are talking about. Because he's just talking in circles. He's Donald Trumping us
all.
Well,
he's presenting a bunch of different, like, this could have happened, this could have happened.
And he's like, okay, what do you want me to do with this?
And some of them contradict each other, so it doesn't make any sense.
The state attorney general's office argued there was ample evidence supporting the jury's determination of guilt, and the court will issue an opinion of the case within 90 days, which, I mean,
they're pretty much laughing at him.
Yeah, but the fact that it's all coming up again is just relighting that fire that's making me be like, what the actual fuck?
This isn't on my list to talk about today, but I thought I would touch on it with you. I didn't make any notes or anything about it, but did you hear that Larry Nassar got assaulted in prison?
He
got let out of, because he was being kept in solitary, not solitary, but he was being kept out of General Pop.
Yeah.
They put him in General Pop, and within 24 hours, he got, like, beat the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, it was too soon to put him in general population.
It was
like,
too soon,
have done that.
But at the same time...
I mean, yeah, I will like, never say that I'm, like, an advocate for prison violence, because I think that that whole narrative of just, like, I hope you get raped in prison or whatever
is I think that's problematic.
Up. But at the same time, it is, like, dude, again, it's like a Brock Turner situation where it's, like, you reap what you sow, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, and it's I don't know, it's a very fraught situation, but at the same time, I'm, like, well...
Well, you know...
I'm not crying into my pillow about it at all, like, you know, like...
No.
Yeah. And in the meantime, it'll probably be a situation where you have to be in solitary, which is...
And that fucking sucks.
Solitary is the worst.
The
It's psychologically really damaging, but you did this. You can't be in General Pop anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Okay, so the next thing I have to talk about is really awful, and it's something I really wanted to touch on just because... I don't know. Okay, I'm just gonna go into it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Nia Wilson is... She was 18, and her sister, Latifah, who was 26, they were changing trains at the BART station, which is the Bay Area Rapid Transit, kind of like the metro station in Oakland, California, on Sunday, when a man approached them and stabbed them both. And Nia was pronounced dead at the scene, 18. And this girl is, not that this means anything, but she was beautiful.
Oh my
gosh.
Just, well, you can just, it doesn't mean anything if she's beautiful or not. But when we're saying that too, I don't think we just mean
aesthetically. Just physically. It's
kind
of
there is
like,
something about her, kind of like when you see, and again, this is a very, you know, stereotypical beauty, but like when you see JonBenet... She was a typical beauty, but she had something to
something
her.
Something enigmatic or,
that just kind of drew you
magnetic.
To that person.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, she looked wise beyond her years. She had this look to her. And it's the same thing with Nia.
Really
you
happy.
See her. Yeah. And there's just something very radiant about her.
Yes. That's the word. And it's also, like, youth.
Yes.
Like, she seems like there's something about her where
she's
it's just
a girl
like,
posting cute selfies
right.
on Instagram.
And you're like,
you know?
You have your whole life ahead of you.
And you see those photos of family members
yeah.
and kids you grew up with that look just like that. You know what I mean? Where you know that girl.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I think that's what I mean when I say that she was, like, a beautiful young girl, where it's, like, you look at these pictures of her, and she looks like, you know, your cousin, or she looks like someone that you went to high school with, and she's, like, it looks like a girl who has her entire life ahead of her.
Yeah.
And so it makes it really hard to see, because it looks like something you would just
she's
see
a
on,
normal girl.
On your Instagram.
Exactly.
You know?
Normal.
So... On Monday, John Lee Cole, 27, was arrested for the attack, ending a one-day manhunt. And in that day, because it was like a full 24 hours, Oakland, which is predominantly black, I've got a lot of family in Oakland, erupted in protests.
Yeah.
Because these two women were black, and the man who did it was white, and it took police a full 24 hours to find him. In a place where, I mean, there's security everywhere at the Metro.
Yeah.
So it became kind of a thing where people were like, why aren't you finding him quicker?
Do we know about this guy? Because I know about what happened, but I don't know a lot of the backstory.
His family, I am not willing to say that I think that this was necessarily a racially motivated
we don't know.
Killing. We don't know that. We don't have enough evidence to suggest that other than the fact that this guy... Other than the fact that this guy is white and the victims are black. Like, we really don't have anything else other than that. But I think... And the family has come out and said that he is bipolar and schizophrenic and he does have a history of crimes and assault and things like that. So it would not be completely out of the question to think that he just lashed out at whoever he saw first.
Right.
But I think part of the reason why I still wanted to bring this up, even though I'm not going to sit here and try and speculate and turn it completely into a racially motivated thing.
You have to think of all the possibilities.
Right.
Though.
Of course. And like, trust me, I am not one to shy away from it being that, because generally I think that that's a very likely conclusion.
Yeah.
But the reason why I still wanted to talk about it is because it's more than just a was this a racially motivated thing. It's a, is there a bias against people of color and the response that it takes to solve their crimes,
definitely
find their killers,
definitely,
and all of that stuff. And there absolutely is.
Yeah.
And this I pulled from a Vox article. There's a reason, though, that this tragedy drew so much attention. There really is a solid amount of evidence that police are slower to respond to and solve murders in which black people are the victims. That racial disparity, along with other evidence of racial bias across America, lies in the background of the conversation over Wilson's death, fueling distrust in authorities, willingness, and ability to respond to these kinds of killings. So another part of this article says that the statistics bear out the concern. Black victims, who accounted for the majority of homicides, were the least likely of any racial group to have their killings result in an arrest.
Yeah.
While police arrested somewhere in 60% of the killings of white victims, they did so in just 47% of black victims.
Yeah.
So even though more black people are dying, like being murdered, than any other racial group, their ability to have their killers be found is significantly less. I think it's indicative of a deeper issue that we've touched on a lot in the recent years with a lot of the, you know, cop killings, and that is the criminalization of black bodies.
Yes.
And that we have decided that black bodies or brown bodies are inherently dangerous.
Yes.
And so we care less.
Yes.
You know, if this had been two blonde girls in the Metro,
I
believe that they would have been caught faster.
Oh, yes.
And the uproar would have been bigger.
So much bigger.
You know, because, and you know, part of that is the media. Part of that is media playing
there's
into
a lot
that.
Of, there's a lot of outward influences there.
Yeah.
But I
there's
feel like it's just
out.
Become in all of our minds where there's a lot of people who have very internalized racism who will just be like, well, it's just another black killing. And
it's
I'm not saying that's right.
Well, I think
but
for a lot of people.
It happens for a lot of, like, especially maybe cops who don't want to admit that what they've done is wrong or that what their brothers in blue have done wrong. And when it comes to other white people, they don't want to make it race, like a race issue, because then they have to look at themselves and their own racial biases.
It groups them in with that group of people.
Exactly. It's the same thing with where, you know, people can have Islamophobia all day, but the second that they talk about any sort of Catholic man doing something, you know, that's not a part of the equation anymore.
Right. And I think it, for the most part, not to give anyone the benefit of the doubt, because fuck you, it's 2018, but I do think for the most part, it's an unconscious bias that...
Well, then you have to check yourself.
That you need to confront. Because I think it is so deeply ingrained on the most base level of our society in every way that you have this bias unconsciously and you don't always know that you're caring more about white people than black people,
but
you
are. Don't be afraid to check yourself. I've checked myself before.
Of course.
I'm not going to say that I'm perfect and that I see everything as being, you know, I'm not the most aware person all the time. I'm not perfect.
Same.
You know what I mean? But what I do is check myself. If I see myself scrolling past an article that I know I need to read, I will go back and I'll say, no, we don't do that. That's not the person we're going
to
be.
I need to educate myself on that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I go back and I read it all and I make sure I get it, because I don't want to be another one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something about that story struck a chord with me, because this is a man who is bipolar, schizophrenic, and has mental issues, and that is something that is directly affecting my family right now on a very serious, scary level.
It could be
And the thing is that we are trying so hard to get this person into treatment and into a place where he can be safe and the others can be safe, but if you are a grown man, you can pretty much sign yourself out. You have to go through a court of law to be held by, you know, the clinic. You can't say that. You can't just leave. You know what I mean?
There's not a lot you can do. Our laws are not set up that way.
And it's hard. And this person that in my family has been, like, all over the country, possibly in other countries. We can't grab this person. You know what I mean? And he needs help and he is refusing help. And it's scary. The things that he's done is scary. And I know that's not the person
that they are.
But it's like, that's the thing for me where I feel like the legal system and the mental health system is letting us down, because there are people that are dangerous. And I don't think that we should be using mental health as an excuse all the time, especially when we talk about gun violence and lots of other things. But also, these people need to be held accountable. So if you know this person has a history of crime and you know that they have a violent tendency with being bipolar and schizophrenic, that person needs to be taken care of. You can't just let that person go.
I know, but it's kind of like, I understand how it's a really, really tricky issue, because at the same time, I mean, we are coming out of a culture that 100 years ago, you could just say someone was crazy, not even 100 years ago, and just, like, put them in there, and you're like, that's fine, guess we'll just leave you here.
Yeah.
So we are also coming from this culture where you cannot just hold somebody.
Right.
So
there needs to be some.
I know. And I don't know what the answer is.
There needs to be a doctor that says, no, this person cannot.
But if they're better, which if you are in an institution and you are getting medication, you will get better.
Yeah.
But when you are out,
it's your choice.
There's no one monitoring whether or not you're taking your medication.
It's true.
So you'll get sick again. And like, there's...
Well, but I mean, like, the reason that it was striking such a chord with me is because would be on like 72-hour holds and let out. They wouldn't call this person's partner. They wouldn't call any. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
There are gaps in the system for sure. Vary from state to state, which is also really hard. So if they leave the state, you know, it's difficult. I do believe that this guy's family are also victims. It's not their fault that like this is happening to them.
Yeah.
And I know how you can get looped in to someone else's shit whenever you had nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah. And I think that that's something that we all have to remember, because we want to point fingers at the whole thing and figure out what's wrong. But no, I think it's important to keep the family in of both the
victim and the
victim
perpetrator.
And the perpetrator's families in mind.
Yeah.
But most definitely the victim's families.
Of course.
My God.
Of course. I mean, and the last thing I'll say about this is, like, the greater repercussions of this, whether or not it is a black and white issue, is that what is happening here whenever Because for generations, basically since the beginning of America, black people have not been treated in the same way that white people have been. Their killers aren't caught as fast or at all. It has created a distrust for police in black communities. They don't trust you to do your job when it comes to helping them.
Yep.
And so they only believe that when you are around, you are there to hassle them.
Yes.
Or hurt them in some way. And of course it has caused this kind of, like, discord. Of course it has.
Yeah.
And you can't pin that on just the black community being, like, paranoid or whatever, because historically it's super true. Here's the thing. It's also been established in studies that have been done about, like, Holocaust survivors and their families, that trauma, PTSD and trauma, can be inherited.
It can be passed down.
It can be passed down, and it does get passed down. It's in your DNA.
Yes.
So if you are the descendant of a slave, if you're the descendant of a Holocaust survivor, that could be in your DNA, first of all. And then secondly, it's in your family history, so you're talking about it. You're talking about the horrible things that you went through at the hands of police in the 1960s. And then it's societal, so you're still experiencing parts of that no matter how small. God. So you're, you know, so it's like there are issues that are so, so much deeper than just, like, why can't you get over racism already?
Yeah.
You know,
like, oh, God, don't even go there.
So anyway, I just wanted to talk about her and, like, you know, this is for you and your family, Nia, and, you know, our hearts are with you.
Too.
And
it was Latifa, right?
Latisha.
I want to make sure I'm saying her name right.
Latifa.
Yeah, that's what I thought. My God. Well, can I give you one more horrible thing for us to talk about that has somewhat of a happy ending, and then we'll get to happy things?
Yes.
I know we don't have a lot of time.
No, go.
But I think it's important to talk about Demi Lovato.
Okay, that was the last one on my list, too. Perfect.
Okay, so the thing that I really want to say, first, I have two things that I really would like to say. First of all, we discussed Demi on this podcast before where I've been critical of her. And I want to make clear, especially now, that my criticism is not on her personally. Or means that I don't care about her or her well-being, because I feel very directly connected to some of the struggles that she's been through.
It's okay to be critical of her.
Like, that's the thing, is that I don't want people to think that because I've been critical of her in the past that maybe I don't care about what's happening now, because I think that people would think, you've talked badly about her.
I think people who think that are thinking along a very one-dimensional... You can be critical of... Because I will say, I am critical of some of the things that she did. The thing that you're referring to, I'm still critical of her for that.
Yeah.
Because I think that that was a fucked up thing to do.
Yeah.
However, it's not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
You can be critical of something someone has done and still have empathy for what they're going through right now.
My God. I mean, Keegan texted me yesterday and told me, and I immediately started reading articles and staying on top of it. And I want to also make very, very clearly that we don't know the whole story yet.
Yeah, and in case you don't know what we're talking about, because we haven't said it yet.
That's true.
Demi Lovato was hospitalized yesterday. They have speculated about
the reason why
it was a heroin overdose.
But the family has come forward and said that the initial reports on the circumstances have been, some of it has been incorrect. They asked the public not to speculate.
And the reason why they said that is because there was a drug, was it Norvithol?
Something
like that. There was a drug
that
is typically used to bring somebody down if they're having an overdose from opiates.
And she has a history with opiates, too.
And someone in her circle had it on them and came out, and people in her circle said that, "We weren't sure what was going on with her, but we saw that something was not right, and so we were afraid that maybe she was using again, and so we started carrying it around with us." Because, you know, it's like an EpiPen,
well,
almost.
Well, she wrote a song called Sober. I don't have the lyrics in front of me, but it does kind of say, look, I've slipped up and I'm sorry. And she had just performed it, like, last Sunday, and she started crying and admitted that she had a relapse.
Well,
and that
it's
she
a
was
disease.
Trying to go to meetings again. And I mean, I honestly, the fact that she has continued to work so hard at her recovery, she had like 6 years of being sober. And to me, that it's not gone. That 6 years to me is still there. And as someone who has addiction in her family that a lot of them have never had any treatment or help for and have just struggled their entire lives, the fact that she is still trying and very open and honest about her pitfalls and still trying means a lot to me. And that shows that she can be an inspiration for people to keep trying.
Well, and I think what it does say as well is that it is, I think there's still so, we're still trying really hard in this country, and there's such a long way to go in terms of drug use and drug users and not demonizing these people because it is, nobody wants to be like that.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to be like
but
that.
But people make mistakes in the heat of the moment or when they're young.
Yeah,
you know?
And especially if you're going through a particularly stressful time, it could be, it is human nature to fall back on those crutches that helped you the last time.
I just, God, I feel for her. But you know what? I'm so proud of her at the same time because I know she's going to keep, you know, she's okay. She's stable. I know she's going to keep trying. And that, to me, gives me hope.
Yeah. And we want to reiterate that we don't know exactly what happened.
We don't.
And we don't know if it was heroin or what it was.
Doesn't matter. It was something that horrible that happened.
That put her in a state where she needed to recover.
Yes.
And she's stabilized now.
Yes. And she's with her family. And we need to just send love and hope. But the thing that pisses me off the most are the gossip columnists.
Oh, of course.
The fire department sold their shit, the information, to TMZ. The fire department.
Did the whole department or did someone at the department do
it? At the department.
Yeah.
They say the fire department of Los Angeles said it was a 25-year-old female, blah, 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 blah.
It was one person, bro.
What the?
And yeah, I agree. But that's people for you.
Right. I'm not trying to say that it's, but I'm saying I want to have more hope in people who are the people who are supposed to be saving our lives.
Yeah.
To not be telling you, oh,
well,
yeah.
Well, fucking me too. But
let me get some money off of this shit. Like, what the fuck? And the fact that this whole heroin thing has spun out of control and then every gossip columnist is talking about it and we don't even know what happened. To me, it's like, let me make money off of people's tragedies.
Well,
and
yeah.
It happens every day. I'm not saying it doesn't happen every day.
And not all journalists. It's not a blanket statement about journalists. But, I mean, that is true.
But, and that's what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that it doesn't happen every day. But it was a reminder to me of the fact that it does happen all the time.
Yeah.
This is something that this person is surviving through, and that we need to hear it from that person before we start speculating. And you know, we are going to speculate as people what we think happened. And you know, the family is saying that they don't want the public to speculate, and I think that means that they don't want us to be publicly speculating. I am not here to say what I think happened. I'm here to say that I'm so sorry that it did happen.
Yeah.
And that I hope so much that she is able to pull through and continue to being an inspiration for those who are struggling and wanting to get better.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
I mean, but here's the thing. Like, and I know we're running really long and we're going to wrap this up, but like that's, and I don't mean to be this person who's always like fucking negative, and I'm not, I don't think I'm a super negative person in general. Like I believe in people and I believe in the goodness of people, but I also believe that that's human nature. Like, in a lot of ways. That's human nature, that you have to fight against that.
But we also have to realize that we have a flaw in our society that is makes money off of gossip.
Well,
I don't buy magazines anymore.
No, I don't either. And the thing is, like, I had something happen in my life that was traumatic. It was super traumatic to me and my family. And, like, yeah, they journalists don't leave you alone.
Yeah.
At the worst time in your life, they swarm.
Yeah.
And they pester you. And they speculate.
And they make lies and stories.
Whatever's going to sell their newspapers.
Yeah.
And they don't let you have a moment to just adjust.
Yeah.
So,
and I think there's a fine line. I think you can be a journalist and you can be someone who shares the news and still have sympathy and empathy for people.
Of course. It's not a blanket statement about all people of that profession. It's just to say that, and you know what? It's not even just about them. It's about us. It's about what it says about us as a society.
Yeah.
Because the truth is they wouldn't write it if we didn't read it.
Yep.
Like, so,
which is what I'm saying is that I've tried really hard to not, you know, if it's the articles that are saying this, we think this may have happened, we think that might have happened. That's just me getting my...
That's news.
That's news. That's me trying to figure out what happened. But I'm not going to click on the gossip columnist.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to TMZ. We're not buying OK Magazine.
Nope.
Yeah.
I don't care. And I'm not going to feed into that stuff anymore. Yeah. I refuse.
Yeah.
So can we end this on something positive?
In fact, let's just talk about, rather than read one and also do one, let's just talk about our experience at our live show.
Yes.
Because I think that that's awesome and it makes us feel really good.
Our sister solidarity life story.
So this is Madigan and I's sister solidarity story that when we went to our live show, which was a couple of weekends ago.
It was last Saturday. So it was like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, Saturday before.
Yes.
Last, yeah.
Whatever.
When we got there, we were doing it with another podcast.
Yes. I was running late. I had to work before and after the show. So Keegan got there before me, just saying.
Yes.
I was involved in this first part.
Okay, well, I was going to include you, but when
I'm being honest, Keegan.
When I arrived, the girls from the other podcast were there already, and they were, like, super sweet.
Ashley and Lauren.
And super, super, like, helpful right away. Like, they came up to me right away, and they were like, hey, we have our microphones. We just have to figure out how the sound system works. Do you want to just use our microphones through the sound system? And then they're like, oh, and we also have, like, a little mic that we can set up in the back for overall sound. And I was like, well, I have a mic, and Madigan's bringing a mic stand, and I have a portable recorder, so if we can use your microphones to perform with, we can set up my mic in front of the speaker and get a live recording.
Yeah.
And just, like, right away, we were so... It was just really cool to be with other girls.
Y'all were on top of your shit when I got there. Like, I got there with 10 minutes, maybe?
Yeah.
Before, and I was hot and couldn't find parking and was, like, needing a Xanax and freaking out. And the fact that, you know, they were... I didn't even introduce ourselves. You know, we did not even have any changes. But the fact that I automatically kind of felt, like, a sense of... like, oh, we get it already.
We're a team already.
Like, not even needing that introduction, but kind of knowing already what we were doing together.
It was really cool to feel like we were this, like, team. Like, we were in it together. It wasn't just like, I'm gonna do my thing, you guys do your thing, and we're not gonna, like, engage with each other.
Yeah.
It was like, we are the four of us, like, in this together to do this thing, because it was both of our, you know, first time live shows.
I mean, I didn't know that about them. And honestly, like, coming in late... I'm always a little bit intimidated because that's my competitive nature from being a figure skater for so long. But, like, not competitive as in, like, I want to be better than them, but just, like...
You don't want to be worse.
I don't want to be worse. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, God, we went first?
Of course, same. I'm always
that way. Oh, my God, I was freaking out that day. But the fact that they were so fucking cool and so wonderful made my anxiety of that day go way down.
Yeah, and they worked to make sure we were comfortable and okay.
Oh my God, they were so sweet and lovely, and I want to hang out with them again. But and the fact that they were so supportive and attentive while we were speaking too was really cool, because I was very nervous that everyone was going to be, I mean, I like saw a few people on their phones and
but
like,
that's everywhere.
I know, but I was like, God, don't look up. Like, I just kept trying to focus on you the whole time because I was so nervous. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I could see them being so attentive and reacting, and then I, you know, was so attentive to them. Like, I've been binging their show like fucking crazy.
Their show is really good. So we're talking, I don't know if we said it already, but the Keep It Weird podcast.
Keep It Weird, guys. Listen to it.
We'll put their promo in this episode so that you guys can hear it. If you haven't already heard it, we'll put it at the end.
It is so good, you guys. I am the pickiest podcast person ever.
Their quality is top notch. Production quality, amazing.
And honestly, okay, so my mom gives me podcast suggestions all the time. I'm meanie about it, but I'm really critical. They're fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Their concept, while being something that's very popular, they have personalized it in a way that I think is really great.
Yeah.
They have, like...
They're funny.
They have guests all the time. They're so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that was like, they made me feel subconscious, like, oh my God, I was not funny at all.
But we did a different thing.
I know.
I think it's a good example. That live show, I think, was a really good example about how you can be equal but different,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you can do different things and still be equally as great at the thing that you did. Because what we do is very different from what they did. Different.
But I loved it so much. As soon as Ashley started talking about her mom, I was like, girl, I get you.
Relatable.
So, we wanted to, that was our sister solidarity. And I got to say, so Keegan left early.
Yeah, I had a wedding to go. I had a wedding to go to, so
and
I believe.
She left me with, like, the little recorder and the microphone and the mic stand. And I'm like, Ashley, what the fuck do I do? She's like, I don't fucking know. Press that button. And I'm like, okay, I'll press that button. And
well,
like,
it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out. And we were like, trying to figure it out, and like they really were just so lovely. And I was like, we're gonna move our stickers here. Do you want to move your stickers there? And
I think it's an example of being invested in someone else's success. Like, I was invested in them succeeding,
yes,
as much as I was invested in us succeeding.
And also a good example of the fact that your own shit doesn't always have to be the priority. Other people's shit at the same time can be priority.
You're in it together.
In it together. And it didn't even seem like an us versus them situation.
No.
And I cannot say enough how obsessed I am with their podcast. I started with their Holly Weird episodes because that's what they did at the live show. It's brilliant. It's so good.
They're so smart. Like, I remember being a little intimidated by how smart they were. So
they got their shit together. We don't always have our shit together, guys. So, yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Like, honestly.
We love you,
from
Ashley
the bottom
and Lauren.
Of our hearts.
From the bottom of my butt.
And this has been a super long mini episode.
Oh, cut it down, Anthony. Chill out.
Calm down. Stop yelling at me.
Anthony, stop. Anthony, stop. Okay, you guys, we're done. We're not going to do anything else. I am so wetting, and I had to keep my shirt on because I'm not wearing a bra today.
I mean, you could take it off if you wanted.
Just free boob it?
Yeah, why not?
My boobs are really big right now because I have my period, too. They would have been super, luxurious.
Yas.
Yas, queen. So, guys, we're doing Reviews Day Tuesday. And I feel like it's important to bring it up because if you leave us a review on iTunes, especially the newer ones, they will for sure be featured on our Instagram.
For sure.
Keegan makes a really pretty picture out of it, makes it look super cool and official. She's going to post it on every Tuesday, a different review. And send us your stories, your sister solidarity, your coming out stories. If you want to say hey, if you like something we said, if you didn't like something we said and you want to be nice about saying a correction.
A calling us in on it.
Thank you, Keegan. our email is neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. Our Instagram is @angryneighborhoodfeminist. Our Twitter is YANF Podcast, YANF Podcast. We have a Facebook group that I don't check enough. And what else? Guys, I want to start doing Patreon really bad.
Oh, yeah, we're going to.
We're going
to put our live show on Patreon when we get a Patreon.
Yes.
If you're wondering why we have not put that up, we're putting it up on our Patreon as bonus content.
Right, and if you guys have something that you want to hear, let us know or talk about, especially if there's something to do with bonus content. If it's something like a whole other, not subject, but side that we're not covering that you'd like to have bonus content on that you would be willing to pay a couple bucks for, let us know because we're brainstorming right now, but all in all, the things that we put out there are the things that we feel that you're really going to enjoy. So feel free to let us know. Do you have anything else to say?
Hey, that's it, I think.
I mean, I guess
you covered the bases.
Yeah, like with that, we encourage you to rage on.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
What is it that makes us so afraid of what we don't understand? We're setting out to investigate everything strange and unusual in our world. If they have the technology to get here, they're not coming here to like observe us to be like, ooh, what can we learn? We invite guests that bring their different perspectives on the supernatural.
I mean, especially considering the fact that the overwhelming majority of UFO sightings and documentation occurs within miles of nuclear testing facilities.
Yeah. They bring their own personal encounters with the paranormal.
All of a sudden, I feel this whoosh of wind and this ringing in my ears so loud that makes me stand up straight. And I look at my dad, I just stand up too. And we both had this moment of, you know, maybe we should get out of here. Something doesn't feel right. And something woke me up and told me, Ashley, there's someone in the closet.
A few months into living at the new house, I was woken up to the lamps being on and the snow globe music box going off.
Hello.
And most of all, we just have a ton of fun.
Jacques would never eat, not a single bite, just sip from his glass of wine.
He was a vampire. He was a vampire.
100% a vampire. Holy buckets.
So I have a bathroom ghost that follows me.
You know who else has a bathroom ghost?
Who?
Harry Potter.
My name is Ashley, and this is my co-host, Lauren.
Hello, weirdos.
And you are listening to Keep It Weird.